Welcome to the Birmingham Vineyard podcast. We hope you find it insightful and encouraging.
If you want to find out more about us, head to our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
Hello, everybody. Nice to see you. If I haven't met you before, I am Lauren. I'm the Kids and Families pastor here, and I'm also a site pastor for the evening service. And I'd love to meet you. I haven't met you before. So I'm here today with the next talk in our Kingdom Ministry series, where we've been using the book of Acts to explore the spiritual authority and power we have as Spirit-filled children of God. So over the last few weeks, we've explored being filled with the Holy Spirit, worshipping with expectation. Last week was speaking in tongues, and this week we're looking at healing and praying for others. So I do recommend catching up on the last few weeks if you haven't heard them already, as they're all important pieces in the Kingdom Ministry puzzle, as it were. So today we're jumping off from a couple of passages in Acts to give us some context. So it'll be up on the screen if you want to read along with me. So Acts 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 p.m. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And then Acts 9. As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. "Aeneas," Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat." Immediately, Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he gifted us the Holy Spirit so that he and the kingdom that he brought would never truly leave us. At Pentecost, Jesus' ministry passed on to his disciples, as we heard in those passages, and is now passed on to Christians across the world today. So why do we pray for others, healing especially? Well, it's because of our love and compassion for people that overflows out of our love for Jesus, and because Jesus commissions and anoints us for it. So we pray out of love and compassion. It says in John 10:10, Jesus came so that we could have life and have it to the full. He did this by bringing the kingdom of God with him wherever he went, making wrong things right, sick people well, and bringing eternal hope to the hopeless. Jesus' ministry was fueled and motivated by love and compassion. Matthew 14:14 says, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed those who were ill. Mark 1:41, Jesus was filled with compassion. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him. He was cleansed. John reports Jesus' reaction to Lazarus' death before Jesus raised him from the tomb in John. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Our primary motivation for healing, for praying for healing, must be love and compassion, just as it was for Jesus. Jesus didn't heal people for status or popularity's sake, and he often got in trouble for healing people. He didn't heal them from a position of pity or assumption either. He often asked people what they wanted from him, even if it appeared to be obvious to us that a blind man wanted to see, for example. Before we enter into praying for someone for anything, we must check our hearts for what motivates us and be sure that we're approaching someone full of compassion and love, like Jesus, letting Jesus and the person we're praying for lead and we follow. So we pray out of love and compassion, and because we are commissioned and anointed. Jesus has given us commissioning and anointing. A commission is a command or role given to a person or group, often being entrusted with the authority to do that thing. So like if I wanted someone to paint me a picture of my cat. I don't have a cat, but if I did, I would commission an artist to do it, trusting them to paint a good likeness of the cat. So let's see what Jesus commissions us with. So he commissioned the 12 disciples with authority over every sickness, disease, and evil spirit, and then did the same for the 72, who were the wider collection of Jesus' followers. And then look, there's all believers. That includes a lot of us. Make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Jesus commanded his disciples to go and heal the sick. And therefore, we're also commissioned to heal the sick. The authority over every sickness, disease, and evil spirit that Jesus had, he now gives to us. However, we do not have the power to heal on our own. We need the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God's kingdom. This is where the anointing comes in. We must have the Holy Spirit at work in us to equip and empower us for this commission. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us with the love and compassion of Jesus and with the power and authority to heal. And when we've done that, people are healed every time we pray, right? Sadly not. And what this is the reality of the now and not yet of the kingdom of God. Where the kingdom of God is, there is healing and freedom. But it's also a reality that the kingdom has not come in its fullness yet. In case you haven't noticed, Jesus hasn't returned. Our world is still broken. The kingdom has not yet fully come. This will happen when Jesus returns and all is made new and perfect. But until then, we're living in the in-between times, where we can access some of God's kingdom fullness now, but not all of it and not all the time. I found this illustration as I was preparing for this, and I thought it was helpful. So the kingdom of God is like a picket fence. When you stand in front of it and put your hand out, your fingers hit a board. The kingdom of God is present. But if you move a few centimetres to the right or to the left and put your hand out again, it goes right through the fence. The fence is there, but it's also not there. And sometimes the fence posts get wider and the gap gets smaller in times of great anointing, or when more people are praying for healing and faith builds. When a community is intentional about praying for healing, more seems to happen. The fence posts aren't constant either. They're not a predictable width. And that's what the now and the not yet of the kingdom is sort of like. So we pray for healing out of love and compassion for others, and because Jesus asked us to, and the kingdom that he brought makes this possible. So what does this look like in practice? Now that we've done the why, what does this look like in practice? Well, part of the reason why it's me up here doing this is because I'm on a journey with this stuff. So I'm going to share some of my experience, and then we'll look at how to pray for others in a more step-by-step way. I grew up hearing stories of people being healed after people prayed for them. I even heard a story of someone in my church whose leg had grown overnight, and all of the problems relating to having one leg shorter than the other were now gone forever. But I was always like, oh, that's cool, or oh, I don't really know the whole story. Maybe it was something the doctors did. I hadn't seen God healing someone in a dramatic way with my own eyes. I'd never really thought that God did miracles today, and I didn't have the kingdom theology framework that I do now to understand what was actually happening. In the last 7 years or so, since I've been part of the Vineyard, my eyes have been opened to the reality and power of the Holy Spirit. I've seen people healed. I've seen people delivered. I've seen the Holy Spirit work miracles in the lives of so many people. So I'd come round to the idea that the Holy Spirit is active today and that miracles can and do happen. But whenever I'd prayed for someone, nothing had happened. Or I'd seen that the Holy Spirit was on them, but I'd never seen any healing. So I just thought, oh, maybe this healing stuff isn't my thing. God hasn't given me the gift of healing, that's fine. And then about 18 months ago, healing kept coming up in conversation. I heard talks about it. But every time someone would ask me about healing, I would say, well, I've tried praying for healing, but nothing really happens, or words to that effect. I didn't have much faith that God would use me to bring healing to someone. But then, after chatting to some people, I felt more and more that I wanted to pray for healing, and that I needed to ask God to give me the ability to heal people in his name. So I did. And for the first few tries, nothing happened. I tried all the things. I said all the words I thought might help, and there wasn't any change in people when I prayed. But then, over the last year or so, I have seen people healed when I've prayed. I've seen healing of people's backs, one of which was a partial healing and a big lowering of pain in the moment. And then when I saw her months later, it was significantly better in a life-changing way. I've seen people's eyes healed. I've seen the Holy Spirit heal minds, removing the influence of the enemy in certain thought patterns and bringing such amazing peace into it. It's awesome, yeah. But it doesn't happen every time. In fact, I don't see improvements a lot of the time, but I've just learned to trust God with that. The more I try, the more I pray, the more I step out, the more God does. If I give it a go, a lot more is likely to happen than if I don't. For me, it's worth stepping out and praying for the chance that it's going to be one of those times when the Holy Spirit changes someone's day or even someone's life. I don't want to miss those opportunities for them and for me. We know that God can heal every sickness, pain, disease, and deformity. He can create body parts, change metal and plastic into bone and flesh, and ultimately do absolutely anything, including raise people from the dead, because he is God, our creator. We also know that sometimes healing doesn't happen. Sometimes people are healed instantly, whether you can see and test it in the moment or they check with the doctor afterwards. Sometimes people are partially healed and we may continue to pray for them in the moment or at a later date. Sometimes something happens overnight or gradually afterwards, and sometimes there's no sign of healing and there's no change in the condition. This is the reality of the world we live in, the now and the not yet, and does not reflect on the person, their value, how much they are loved by God, or their level of faith. This is important to note. There are examples in the Bible where Jesus links faith to people's healing, i.e., your faith has healed you, in reference to the woman who is bleeding for 12 years. However, this does not suggest that Jesus does not heal because a person's faith does not hit some kind of faith threshold. Faith as small as a mustard seed can lead to incredible things. Everyone in the Gospels who asked Jesus to heal them was healed. So people who are open to Jesus coming into their lives and healing them can be healed. But like with anything, just because there's a possibility of something happening doesn't mean that it will. If every prayer we ever prayed was answered, the world wouldn't function. When we pray, we'll be the one who gets the job after an interview. If God answered that prayer for all of the candidates, we'd have an issue, wouldn't we? And we'd never fail at anything. I find it helpful to think of healing in this way too. The world is broken, and prayer makes a massive difference. So sometimes we just have to trust that whatever our situation, Jesus is at work in it. Sometimes that looks like being healed or delivered from our suffering. And sometimes it looks like Jesus giving us something else in or through our suffering, or because of our suffering. The reality is that suffering is a significant reality in our world, as much as we may hate it. And we will all encounter it in different ways at different times. But Jesus gives us a way to glimpse the future world he has for us, one free of pain and suffering. When the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to heal, its main purpose is to show the love of Jesus to others and bring us and them a better understanding of his character, drawing them closer to him and the future hope that he brings. Jesus gives us the power to heal, to glorify him as people see his love and compassion. The supernatural healing that we get to see and have access to is a privilege. And the fact that it is a reality at all is such a blessing to us, the people around us, and the world that we live in. So let's pray for it and be open to what God has for us. So now that we know why we pray for healing and what can happen when we do, how do we do it? The thought of praying for healing for someone can be overwhelming, I know that, but it doesn't need to be. When we're praying for people, it can be helpful to have some guidelines to follow so that we're more confident that we're doing it well. So in the Vineyard, we have a 5-step model for praying for healing. And so I'm going to talk through that now, and then we'll have some ministry time at the end. And if you want to, you can have a go. So as with all models, it's not perfect, and it's not a rigid rule, and it's not a script that you have to stick to like at a call centre, okay? It's got some flexibility to it. It does encourage prayer in a relational way, and that helps everyone involved feel safe and loved, which is vital whenever prayer is happening. Okay, let's get going. So step one is called the interview. So imagine that someone has come up to the front and they would like some prayer, and you're going to approach them to go and pray for them. First thing to do is introduce yourself. Say what your name is. You don't tell them your life story. Just ask their name and tell them yours. We like to encourage girls to pray with girls and guys to pray with guys. This is just because prayer is quite a vulnerable thing, and you might want to share stuff. And then it means any follow-up afterwards is done with someone of the same sex, which is also helpful. And then ask them what they would like prayer for. And this applies for any kind of prayer. We never go up to someone assuming what they want prayer for. It might not be what you expect it to be. And then combine their answer to that with what you can see going on in them. What can you see physically on them, and also spiritually? So ask God for words of knowledge, discernment words and stuff like that. So don't overdo the interview, but just be listening well to them and to God. And then number two, the diagnosis. So this is where we're like, what's going on? What's going on here? We want to take a moment to ask the Lord where this is coming from so that we can pray appropriately. Is there a root cause that we can pray into? For example, if I had a really snotty nose, I might not want that snotty nose anymore. But if you just pray for my nose, then fine, my snotty nose might go. But what if I have a virus that I'm battling? I want you to pray for the virus. I don't want you just to pray for my nose. If we don't just want to pray for the symptoms of something, if they can be healed of the cause of those symptoms. So this can be something physical like that, or it could be something emotional causing a physical pain, or a situation that we need to pray into that's causing them to get hurt. It could be an accident that they've had, or even supernatural causes. So ask the Lord that question. But again, never assume anything or speak something over them that they have not confirmed. And then ask them further questions if you need clarity on that. One good question to ask here, especially if you're praying for healing, is how would you rate your pain out of 10? This gives us a measurable thing so that when we check in with them later, we can see if there's been any progress in their pain. And then we can ask those follow-up questions later. So step three, we're actually going to pray for them now. Okay, we've got a good idea of what's going on and what we're praying for, and we now need to work out what kind of prayer to pray. But first, we ask if we can lay hands on them. And we do this as it's what we see the early Christians do in the book of Acts when they're praying for people to receive the Holy Spirit. We see from the example of Jesus that laying hands is not necessary for healing, but it is biblical and therefore encouraged. And I've seen the Holy Spirit increase his presence visibly on people when someone has laid their hands. So it does seem to catalyze things. And then we ask the Holy Spirit to come and minister to the person. We might ask God to heal, if that's what we're praying for. Ask God to bring his healing power on that person. And keep praying in the Spirit. It might be that you want to pray in tongues. If you don't know the person that well or what their relationship with Jesus is like, maybe don't start with the tongues. But ask God to come, increase his presence in them. And we might want to use a command of faith. So it's like when Peter said, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. In the passage, we have the authority of Jesus over sickness, disease, and evil spirits. So we can speak to those things and have authority over them. It might be that there's something demonic going on. We're going to talk about a bit more about that in a couple of weeks. And we have the power over that too, to rebuke, bind, and expel. But you don't need to say lots. For example, if I was praying for someone's back to be healed, I might put my hand on their back with their permission and just say, back, be healed in Jesus' name, and leave God to do the rest. Number four. I'm rattling through this, but hopefully it's helpful. Prayer. So this is prayer engagement. So when you're praying for someone else, keep your eyes open and watch for signs of the Holy Spirit moving on them. They might feel warm. Their eyelids might be fluttering. They might start to shake. Or that you might just see that they're really peaceful. These are signs that the Holy Spirit is on them. But if you are being prayed for, close your eyes. You're less likely to be distracted by what's going on around you, and it's a bit weird to gaze into the eyes of the person praying for you. And don't be afraid to ask questions. Find out what's going on for them. You might want to find out where their pain levels are at once you've prayed that first time, because we don't want to use too many words. So just pray that command and wait and see what the Holy Spirit is doing. And if there has been a change, get them to test it out as well. And then just stop when one of you thinks that you're done. It might be that you just take your hands off or they open their eyes. But just follow their lead with that. And the last thing is the prayer is done. It's post-prayer direction. So what are their next steps? Check in with them. How are they doing? If there's stuff to process, check that they've got people around them to support them. If not, recommend a small group and recommend that they spend some time with Jesus. And encourage them to check with their doctor if there's been a change, especially if they're on medication. And you may want to invite them back for some more prayer another time. So that's the five steps of healing. So we're asking, what are we praying for? What's going on? We're praying really simply. We're checking in with what is happening, and then we're following up with them. It says in James 2:17, faith must be put into action or it's dead. So just believing that God can heal isn't enough. We can lay hands on the sick and they can be healed. Faith grows when we trust God and put it into action. And we will see more people healed when we pray than if we don't. This doesn't mean that we should go around finding the people that look a bit ill and assume that they want prayer. We must never assume anything about a person or situation before we ask them. They might want prayer for something completely different to what you think. Assuming often leads to hurt and a felt sense of judgment, which isn't a good place to start. As John Wimber said, the guy who pioneered a lot of this stuff, everyone gets to play. We can all ask the Father what he's doing and then pray, knowing we've received the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority that has been given to us by Jesus. Not forgetting to pray with love and compassion being our greatest motivations. So let's finish with some top tips and then we'll do some ministry. So firstly, ask God to be with you and lead you. That should be what we're coming in with first. Don't be afraid to listen before you speak and leave silence. Pray with authority and expectation, stepping out in faith with what God may be saying. And don't be afraid to keep asking God for more for you and more for them also. Don't worry if nothing appears to happen. The nature of the kingdom of God is that we're joining in with what God is already doing. And if he's not moving in that space, then we have to trust his will and timing, and we can always pray another time. Sometimes Jesus does something different to what we expect too. Maybe the person is not healed in that moment, but they know God with them close in a way that they've never felt before, and that is life-changing for them. And make it as straightforward as possible for the person receiving prayer to connect with God. Don't do anything to distract them or provide physical comfort. Jesus can do that, and we want them to focus on drawing towards him. This also includes things like, if you think your breath smells, have a mint. No one wants to be put off by the people that are around them as they're praying. So, to conclude, Jesus said, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Let's take this as a great encouragement. Wherever we're at, however faith-filled we're feeling, we have the authority to do incredible things in the name of Jesus. Alongside this, we have the tension of the brokenness of life, where the kingdom of God has not yet fully come, that cannot be ignored. Thankfully, God doesn't ignore our brokenness and pain. He became part of it in Jesus. Jesus knew all about grief, pain, and loss. He was rejected, betrayed, and faced a truly terrifying death that he asked his Father to take away from him. But he also accepted it, not making life more painful for others so that they could relate, not wallowing in the unfairness of his suffering. He knew that after brokenness comes wholeness in resurrection life. When Jesus returns and makes all things new, there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The sufferings of this life are heartbreaking, but we can live in the real and certain hope that they are temporary. And excitingly, sometimes we get a glimpse of the glory of the kingdom of God now, in the in-between times, when the kingdom of God breaks through and we see people set free and healed. And what an amazing thing that is. We get a taste of the wonder of the eternal things to come when we pray for healing.
We hope you enjoyed the talk and found it helpful.
We'd love to welcome you to one of our gatherings. We meet in multiple locations at multiple times on Sundays, as well as in midweek small groups across the city. More information on all of these can be found at our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
Thanks for listening. Have a great day and God bless.